بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث 344 عمران ابن الحسين، may Allah be pleased with him, goes in line with the chapter that we are discussing, which is the chapter that deals with al-qisas. And al-qisas is the equality in punishment. Someone hits you, you hit him back. This is qisas. The Prophet did this, alayhi salatu wasalam, in one of the battles. He was straightening the lines, and he had a stick in his hand. He's saying to people, straighten your line, straighten your... One of the companions was a little bit in front. So he poked him lightly in his stomach and said, go in line. And the man said, ouch, O Prophet of Allah, you hurt me. And the Prophet said, alayhi salam, revealing his stomach, okay, make even, meaning have your way of equal punishment. I did this to you, you do this to me. And the man embraced the Prophet, kissing his stomach, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, by Allah, I only wanted to kiss your stomach so that it would be the last thing I kiss before I die in battle. Look at the love of the companions to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who not only followed every single thing that he taught them, they were not selective like us. Yes, I like this, I don't like that. No, they followed everything, yet they loved the Prophet ﷺ more than they loved their lives, their fathers and mothers, their wives, their wealth, their children. They loved him more than anything else on earth. So, we're still studying this chapter. We have hadith number 344. Who will read that to us?
Imran bin Hussein reported, a man bit the hand of the other, and he tried to draw his hand from his mouth, and thus his forces were pulled out. They referred their dispute to Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereupon he said, does one of you bite his brother as a camel bites? Go away. There is no compensation for it. Your teeth.
Now the hadith is crystal clear. Two men fought with each other, and one of them went to bite the hand of his, not friend, not brother, they're brothers, huh? But they're fighting. So one bit the hand of the other. The other one was in pain and agony. What do you think anyone would do? Please, can you let go? I beg you, can you let go? No. The man took his hand forcefully from the man's mouth, and two of his teeth fell. So the man said, I have no teeth. I'll go and complain to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. If you poke someone's eyes, if you deliberately poke someone's eye and damage it, what's the compensation? Nothing, forgive me. No, he has the right to say, I want his eye poked as well. And this is implemented. If you break someone's tooth and he demands, I want his tooth to be also broken, this happens, a life for a life. So the man complained to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, look what he had done to me. I'd like compensation. And the Prophet was angry. And he said, one of you bites his brother's hand like a camel. This is not normal people. Normal people don't bite. So in a fight, you go and bite, and you expect him to leave his hand in your mouth? Go. There is no expiation. There is no blood money. There is no punishment on the one, because you were the assailant, you were the aggressor. And this hadith is a general rule to deflect, to repel, to send away an assailant. But you have to begin from downwards and upwards. You have to choose the lesser in evil. For example, someone comes into your house, he wants to break in. And as he is climbing the fence, you shoot him with a shotgun, killing him. This is not halal. Ya Sheikh, he made me do it. He's the one who climbed over the fence. Make my day. Please, come, climb. I want to try my new rifle. This is not permissible. What should I do then? As he's climbing, warn him. I can see you. I have a gun. Don't come. He jumps in and walks towards me. I shoot in the air. I will shoot you next time. He still comes. I shoot his leg. If at all I'm unable to do anything and the guy is going to kill me or attack me, in this case, I can kill him. But not from the very beginning, shoot him between the eyes and Alhamdulillah, God sent me someone. No, you should not be bloodthirsty. You should not defend yourself by going to extreme. You have to go gradually so that you can make as minimal harm as possible. And the hadith also indicates this to us. Now, the following hadith is hadith number 345. Yes, the brother there.
Narrated Jundub. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amongst the nations before you, there was a man who got a wound and growing impatient with its pain. He took a knife and cut his hand with it, and the blood did not stop till he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave hurried to bring death upon himself, so I have forbidden him to enter paradise.
Okay, now this hadith is referring to what? The ruling on suicide. And suicide is a major sin. Allah mentioned that in chapter 4. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And killing oneself is prohibited. A number of hadiths show us the gravity and the seriousness of this crime. The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever kills himself will be punished by the way he killed himself in hellfire, where he will be there for eternity, khalidan mukhalladan fiha abadan, forever. And this goes with the person who kills himself with a knife or with poison or by burning himself or by drowning himself. Any means you kill yourself would be considered to be means of committing suicide. Now, smoking, does it fall under the same category? Most likely it is not, because people don't die 100% out of smoking. Yet it is means and ways of this. So if a person smokes and dies through cancer or dies because of smoking, there is nothing suspicious or wrong in him being punished with that poison in hellfire. The hadith is clear. A man felt sick or fell injured, and he could not tolerate the pain. So he cut his veins and died because of his self-inflicted wounds. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that Allah the Almighty said, Jannah is forbidden for him because he raced to kill himself before his time was due, and he inflicted this death upon himself. Also, in another hadith, the companion tells us that in one battle, there was this man, and he was killing the disbelievers left, right, and center. He was a brave warrior. So us companions spoke in front of the Prophet ﷺ, saying that no one has done well like this person. MashaAllah, he killed so many of the disbelievers in battle. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him and said, he's in hell. The companions were shocked, and they thought to themselves, if he's in hell, what about us? So one of them said, I'll bring you all the necessary information about this man. I'll follow him. So the man throughout the battle has been following him, fighting, following and observing him, until he saw this brave man being wounded in battle. But the wound was so painful that the man took the tip of his sword, put it in his throat, and then leaned on the floor or the ground until it penetrated his neck, killing him. So the man committed suicide. So the Prophet ﷺ, or the man went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Prophet of Allah, I believe that you are the messenger of Allah. And the Prophet said, what makes you say such a statement? He said, the man you told us about, he did so and so and so. So this indicates that committing suicide is a major sin. Now, does it mean that whoever commits suicide is in hell forever? It's an issue of dispute among scholars. The majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that anyone who commits a sin other than shirk or kufr, any sin, that it is in the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wishes, he forgives. If he doesn't, he punishes. So what do we explain the hadith or the verses when Allah says khalidan for eternity? Scholars have different opinions. Some of them say that if he thinks that it's halal, he will never come out of hell. Others say, no, this means that he will be for eternity in the hellfire prepared for the Muslims. which eventually will be closed, and the Muslims will come out. Non-Muslims, they will be there for eternity. Third opinion is that he will remain there for eternity if Allah wants him to be there. But Allah stated to us that he will forgive the sins other than shirk, so he will fall under the divine will. And the safest is to keep away from interpreting it so that people would not lose the fear of doing such a sin. If you keep on saying, no, it's not for eternity, people would think, oh, okay, then I can commit suicide. No, keep it as it is, as the Prophet mentioned, alayhi salam, and let the people refrain and stay away from this major sin. A number of questions may come and rise due to this situation. Among them would be, what is the ruling on what is known as suicide bombing? People say that this is jihad. Others say that this is terrorism. What is the most authentic opinion? Well, any Muslim being objective, referring to the Quran and Sunnah, would answer this question easily. But the problem is when people come and give you a comparison and say, what's the ruling on having my weaponry and my Kalashnikov, my M16, my Uzi, my MP5, all these guns, and I go into a group of soldiers, of disbelievers, and I fight with them, they fight with me, and they put like 100 holes in my body and I die. What's the ruling on that? Well, this is an interesting topic. We'll discuss it after the break, inshallah. And if you have any questions, prepare them. So stay tuned.